review a bit. In the previous message in our study of 1 Corinthians, which I believe was quite a while ago because of the interruption of the surgery and all that, but we looked at two accounts in the book of Acts that mentioned the attesting sign gift of tongues. In other words, the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to a believer to speak in languages that believer had never learned before. In every case, the languages spoken were understood by someone present who could speak that language and who verified that they were exalting God, as we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 46, or preaching the mighty deeds of God, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. The fact is that the gift of tongues is mentioned in only three chapters of Acts, Acts chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 19, and three chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Period. That's it. Nowhere else in the New Testament is that gift mentioned. I believe it is also implied in Acts chapter 8 and assumed in the missionary journeys of Paul, where he preached the gospel to many different people groups, especially in light of his statement in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, that he spoke in tongues more than anyone in the Corinthian church. What a tremendous aid to evangelism that gift was. We also noticed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the stated order of the gifts listed, that tongues come last and therefore are of least importance. Then in verses 29 and 30, it asks a series of rhetorical questions to make a point. And the point being that not all believers have the same gift. And that would also apply to the gift of tongues. This is reinforcing the previous teaching in verses 4 through 11 that the Holy Spirit distributes to each believer a particular gift as the Holy Spirit sees fit. From that passage, we can see then five truths. Let me list these five truths. First truth, the true gift of tongues was only given to some believers, definitely not all. Therefore, it could not have been a sign to signify that a person was saved. That sign seems to have been used initially by the Holy Spirit to indicate that salvation was to be granted equally to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans, which were of mixed Jewish-Gentile parentage. This speaking in tongues was very likely a one-time experience in these new believers' experience and was for the purpose of proving to other Jews who were present that these individuals, and more importantly, the people group they represented, were truly saved. So Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48 are showing that. And that God was offering the gift of salvation to all nations, not just the Jews. That's the very first important truth. The second truth is that the gift of tongues was a gift that enabled that believer to speak a variety of languages, not just one language. The word used is the plural noun languages in reference to that believer, not just language. Number three, the gift to one believer of languages and the gift to another believer of interpretation of languages always come last in the list that include them. You see that in chapter 12, verse 10, and verse 28 and verse 30 as well, indicating that they are the least important gifts. It could be that two of the reasons this gift was of least importance is that it is easily counterfeited by demonic means and was desired most by those who were ruled by pride. Fourth truth, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, the gift of tongues would soon cease by itself. In other words, would peter out, as the Greek verb is important to understand here, confirmed by the fact that the later epistles don't even mention this gift. And then number five, even while the gift of tongues was still current at the time of the writing of this epistle, Paul points out in chapter 14 the fact that prophesying, that is preaching, was a much better gift because other believers could receive immediate edification through it. The use of the gift of tongues was useless to other believers unless there was an interpreter. And even then, it was a cumbersome and time-consuming way of communicating God's truth, having to be spoken twice, once in the foreign language, then again by the translator. It's interesting. I think I mentioned this before, but here, especially in Quebec, you sometimes have a visiting preacher in a French-speaking church, and he's preaching in English, and they have to translate it to French. And you have to sort of hear it twice before, you know, it can move on to the next sentence or the next phrase. And it's a bit cumbersome, even though we're glad the interpretation is available. If you missed any of the messages covering the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, you can go back and listen to those messages on our website, beginning with message number 21 in our series on 1 Corinthians. In the previous message, we read 1 Corinthians 14 and noticed several statements that expose the unbiblical nature of the tongues movement that has swept North America and even the world in the last 100 years. It is in this chapter alone that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, brings up the problem of counterfeit tongues. In fact, we see in this chapter the true gift of tongues, always in the plural, remember, as opposed to the fleshly use of a foreign language, which we saw is not from the Holy Spirit, and senseless ecstatic utterances, in other words, gibberish. This third category, gibberish, we can see come from either misguided or fleshly efforts to imitate the gift of tongues, or it can come from demonic possession. It is that last point that moves me to spend so much time on warning you against this counterfeit or imitation of the gift of tongues. It's precisely because this counterfeit is so spiritually dangerous that you need to be warned away from it at all costs. And I truly believe that the modern tongue speaking of today is a rerun of the Corinthian counterfeit. So we noticed in the previous message several things. Number one, we noticed first that the gift of tongues is the gift of languages, which are meant to communicate meaning and message to the hearer. If you were not aware of it before, you learned in the previous message in the series, would be number 25 in the series, that the Pentecostals and Charismatics do not speak in any language at all. What they come out with is gibberish or ecstatic utterances. They maintain that this is a heavenly language, not an earthly language. That this is at best a self-deception is shown by the fact that God is a God of order, and that He is the one who created languages in the first place. In the few times that modern tongue speakers have allowed linguists to listen to their tongue speaking, the linguists have invariably reported that there is no form or structure to the nonsense syllables that emanate from these tongue speakers. Number two, we notice secondly that those who are being coached in speaking in tongues are often told to empty their minds and repeat the same word over and over again. This is exactly what is done in transcendental meditation and pagan Eastern religions, and is what spiritists do to invite demonic possession. If you did not hear that message, please make sure you find message number 25 posted on our website, and especially pay attention to the testimony I read to you of a pastor's wife who lived right here in Quebec, gave her testimony about the fact that she was in it and how she got out of it. So I hope that you'll listen to that if you didn't already. In order to keep our study brief today, I will add only two major points to what we've already covered concerning this issue of tongues. So let's get right to that. The purpose of tongues was for a sign, not to believers, but for unbelieving Jews. Look at verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you follow along with me in your Bibles, I'm going to read it aloud for us. Verse 20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, that is, foreign languages, and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy, that is preaching, is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. By the way, please notice that in that verse, prophecy is for a sign. Is for a sign is in italics. Everybody notice that in your Bible? It's in italics, which means that it's not in the original. It's added editorially. Okay? We're going to come back to that in just a second. Verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, that is preach, and an unbeliever, an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Okay, we've already seen that tongues were given as a sign from God to unbelieving Jews, warning them of approaching judgment for rejecting their Messiah. And we noticed in Old Testament scriptures that this was prophesied. So listen to the previous message, number 25, to get more of the detail there. Notice that the judgment finally came in AD 70. And when that point was passed, the purpose of the sign was also passed. We've also seen that tongues were given as a sign to saved but skeptical Jews. That salvation was not only for Jews, but also for Samaritans and Gentiles. Notice in contrast that the gift of prophecy or preaching was given to believers rather than unbelievers. Now, I mentioned this before, we paused there, but the phrase is for a sign is in italics. In other words, it was not in the original manuscripts, but was inserted by the translators as a clarification, at least in their opinion. Actually, the gift of prophecy or preaching was not given as a sign. It was given as a means of edifying the church. So it's not the same category as tongues. It's actually one of God's means for edifying, building up the church in the word. Paul gives four regulations for the use of tongues, that is, the true gift of tongues. Look at verse 27 and 28 with me. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three. In other words, you're speaking in a language, a foreign language, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, not all at once. And one must interpret. But if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Keep in mind here that the person who's speaking in this unknown tongue, that unknown language or foreign language, is actually preaching in that language. But if there's nobody who can understand it, it's useless. Everybody understand that? There's nobody to interpret it, it's useless. For instance, if we had someone come here and speak in, say, German, well, I could understand it, but probably not many of the rest of you would. Would you get any benefit from it? Would that be of any edification for you? No. So therefore, hey, forget preaching in German, okay? So that's the point here, is only when the church is receiving edification. So if there's a foreign language being spoken, there should be someone translating so that the people can get edification from it. Only one person or two, and no more than three in total, are to speak in these foreign languages in a service. But only one person is to speak at one time. Why am I emphasizing this? You'll see in just a minute, all right? If there is no one who can translate, then the one with the gift is to keep silent. Women were not to preach in any way, whether foreign language or not. Remember, the gift of tongues was a preaching in a foreign language. So the women were not supposed to preach in the church, okay, in any language, all right? Now, look at verses 34 through 35. So tongues speaking was not a gift a woman was allowed to use in church. By the way, this is another proof that the modern practice of tongue speaking is not of God. It is a well-documented fact that the majority of tongue speaking taking place in Pentecostal and charismatic churches is done by women. In fact, all four of these rules we just reviewed are broken regularly in these churches and gatherings. Tongue speaking takes place where everybody is speaking at the same time. It is just a babble, okay? So keep that in mind. Aside from the demonic source and counterfeit nature of this modern tongue speaking, the practice of it is blatantly disobedient to the rules governing it, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 14. I hope that was clear to you, so that if someone comes to you and say, no, this is a good thing, you can say, actually, let me take you to 1 Corinthians 14. And it'll be very easy for you to show what God says here about the rules governing tongue speaking. Now, as verse 37 through 38 point out, if anyone does not recognize and obey the commands that Paul has just given, he is obviously not spiritual, and what he is saying does not come from God. And I don't think it can get any clearer than this. Again, as I cautioned you in the previous message in this series, number 25, please make sure that this knowledge you have gained about the gift of tongues does not feed your pride, but rather make sure it increases your burden to deliver from this deception those who have been taught error regarding the gift of tongues. By the way, the only way you can deliver them from this deception is to give them the truth, show them from the Word of God what God says about this. Will they follow what you're saying? Some will, some won't. So don't get discouraged if they reject what you say, but at least you've done your part by humbly and lovingly giving them the truth about this. And pray for them. It has to be that God works in the hearts and helps them to see the truth that's given here in chapter 14.